one that Brian had us sing, Make Me a Blessing, sort of ties in with something I want to share with you today. This message is sort of born out of something that has been very real to me lately. There are a few brethren who know something about this. I'd like to have you turn with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 10. This is a story that Jesus tells that's so well known to us. We refer to it as a parable of the Good Samaritan. And as I've gotten stuck on this lately because God has really been speaking to me about something specific, and I've come to see some things in this account that I've never seen before. A lot of applications have been made on this passage of Scripture, and some of them get carried away. And it's okay, I think, to make applications as long as we know what the interpretation is of the Scripture and what we know what the probing truth is in this passage. And I'd like you to think about that as I read the passage from Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, and verse 25 to 37. What is the probing truth that comes to us with power from the words of Jesus and from the story that Jesus tells in this story, in this account? Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verse 25, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested Jesus, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said unto him, What is written in the law? How do you read it? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, that is the lawyer, desiring to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, he came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And the next day when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, that's two days' wages, and gave them to the host and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And the lawyer said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. Probably no story that came from the lips of Jesus is more familiar than this one. However, I think it's possible for us to see its beauty and its warmth, and yet the story fails to allow us to see the probing truth that Jesus desires to have enter our hearts. What is that probing truth? This is what I've discovered, and this is what it means to me. It is finding a way to show mercy to someone who is in need when there's no reason at all to do so. accept that there is a need. We sang, "Make me a blessing." We sung about many, many people who have needs. If we had the arms and the hands and the feet of Jesus, does he use you and me to meet needs? That's the probing truth, I believe, in this passage of Scripture. I just want to say this before I forget. This passage of Scripture begins after Jesus confronts this lawyer who is testing him with something that Jesus says after he confronts the lawyer. He says, "Go and do thou likewise." At the end of this passage, we'll notice he says that same thing to the lawyer and to all who listened and to us. Go and do thou likewise. Let's look at it. First of all, we sometimes think that and say that this is a parable. I don't think it is. The Scripture doesn't say this parable. When Jesus speaks in parables, he generally says so. But why don't I think it's a parable? Think about this whole situation. And think of this lawyer who was well-versed in the law of Moses. He was the kind of guy that not only knew the law, but he associated with all of his cronies who also knew the law, and they discussed all these kinds of little issues about who is my neighbor and how do we inherit eternal life and a lot of other things. But I believe, because Jesus is God and he has wisdom beyond anything that this lawyer had, I mean, this fellow was going to be brought up short. He took on someone that he shouldn't have taken on. But I think he thought, I think he was proud enough and self-righteous enough to think that somehow he could trap Jesus. Because he knew who Jesus was. I mean, in many respects, he'd seen him. People said, no one speaks like this man. But at any rate, I believe that the Lord Jesus, in his wisdom, would never tell a story that would make a Jew or a priest or Levite look bad and make a Samaritan look good. And we all know that the Jews hated the Samaritans and the Samaritans hated the Jews beyond what we can imagine. And so that would be a very dangerous thing for Jesus to do. And it would be self-defeating as well. Now, that's one of the reasons, and I think it was a sensible, logical reason that Jesus wouldn't tell a story like this. But I believe that this was a well-known story. A couple of weeks ago, there was a young fellow that came into a school in Florida and shot up all those kids and a couple of teachers. That's a well-known story. Everybody knows not only the story, but a whole lot of the details of that story. I think this was that kind of a story. And people were saying, wow, this Samaritan helped this Jew who had been attacked by these bandits and robbed him and stole from him and left him half dead. It's unbelievable. That's the kind of thing I think it was, okay? You may not agree with me, but think about that. And the other thing I think that is because he talks about a certain lawyer, Jesus says, a certain lawyer. It was a certain lawyer. The Spirit of God talks about a certain lawyer. He talks about a certain man who fell among thieves. He talked about a certain priest. And he talked about a certain Samaritan. I don't know if you ever thought about that, but as we read the Scriptures, words are important. And when we discover something and God begins to show it to us, and you begin to sort of search the Scriptures and look at it, if you check your concordance, you can look at, there's one whole page in my Strong's Concordance that has the word certain in it. Look it up. These were individual people that are identifiable, I believe. You look at Luke 16, for example. There's the, you know the story. There was a certain beggar. His name was Lazarus. In John 11, there was a man named Lazarus. And in Acts 5, there was a man named Ananias. A certain man, right? All of these have that word in it. At Antioch in chapter 13, there were certain prophets there, and they were all named. If you go read on past the scripture that I just read in the next verses, you'll find that Jesus then went to a certain village, which we know was Bethany, because he said there was a certain woman there by the name of Martha. That tells me something, that this was an actual story that everybody knew. Actually, it had taken place. Everyone was talking about it. And besides all of that, you can't deny a true story. A story that is true and that everybody knows about. Now then, go back to the encounter with the lawyer. Jesus takes him right back to the law. Now, all of us know that this story, this account in Scripture, is not about how to be saved, how to gain salvation. We all know, don't we, other passages of Scripture that clearly tell us that there's only one way to God, and that's through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace we're saved through faith, that not of ourselves, nothing we can do, it's the gift of God. And John's gospel says so much truth there with regard to this. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son of God hath life. He that believeth not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abides on him. So this passage is not at all about salvation. But Jesus brings this lawyer back to the law because he knew the law. Not only did he know the law, but Jesus knew that he knew he wasn't keeping the law. He didn't love God with his whole being, and he wasn't loving his neighbor. In fact, Jesus knew that all of these teachers of the law, most of them, they honored God with their lips, their hearts were far away from them, and they circulated in their own little community, very, very comfortable. He wouldn't even help another Jew, another lowly Jew. And Jesus knew all of that. And so when he asked him this question, when Jesus asked him the question and brought him to back to the law and said to him, okay, this is the law, you've just quoted it, you're right, now go and do it. And this man knew that he wasn't doing that. And so he kind of changes his route a little bit and he says, well, who's my neighbor? Jesus answered with this story about three men, a priest, a Levite, and a Samaritan. They were traveling from Jerusalem to Jericho. Jerusalem was about 3,300 feet higher in elevation than Jericho. Mostly Jews passed that way. This Samaritan was totally out of his comfort zone. He probably shouldn't even have been on that road. Samaria was way up north and west of Jerusalem, as far as I remember on the map. And he was a long way away from home. This road was heavily traveled. It was about 17 miles long, wound around. It was a very dangerous road. It was known as the Road of Blood. It was a treacherous stretch of road. And all of these three men come upon this poor man, this poor Jew, who had been robbed, beaten, and lay there bleeding, half dead beside the road. Then these three fellows come along, the religious men and the Samaritan. So, as to the lawyer's question, who is my neighbor? I think that Jesus challenged this lawyer, and he challenges us as we consider this passage of Scripture, that there are four things that are necessary for us if we really want to be a blessing to people. And that means that we're going to get involved in other people's lives. And if we desire to be involved in other people's lives, then this sometimes requires that we move out of our comfort zones and of our comfortable little nests. Finding a way to show mercy to someone in need when there's no reason to do so, except that there is a need. And that person to whom God may be calling us to show mercy to may be someone we love. It may be somebody we know. It may be somebody we don't know. And it may be somebody that we don't even care for. The priest and the Levite didn't care. As believers, because Jesus cares, we need to care. I need to care. You need to care. What are the four challenges? I noticed four of them for my own soul. First of all, we need to see the need. I think there's a difference between seeing a need with our eyes and seeing the need with our hearts. We know that the Samaritan saw the need with his heart. The priest and the Levite didn't. They should have. We would never expect this Samaritan to see the need of a Jew laying there with his heart. This story that Jesus tells shows that the process of loving or not loving, caring or not caring, begins when we see. The priest saw, he passed by. The Levite looked, and he passed by. The Samaritan saw with compassion, and he came where the man was. I remember a story that old Brother Hadley once told. Said that two people were sitting in their backyards, two couples were sitting in their backyards, and there was a little boy in the next yard that was swinging on a swing, and he fell out of the swing. The chain broke, and he fell out of the swing, and he fell, and he broke his leg. And next door, the people were sitting there watching him and said, "Come over here, little boy, and we'll help you." It's foolish, isn't it? We need to go where the boy was. That's what this Samaritan did. He went to where the man was. I suppose that the priest might have had an excuse as he looked at the man and passed by. He probably said, "Well, you know, I've been serving God at the temple all week long and kind of anxious to get home." And maybe he thought, "Boy, those thieves really made a mess of this guy, but maybe they beat him up and they left him here, lay here as a decoy, and I'm going to be the next one, so I got to get moving." Or maybe he thought, "Why take the chance? Not my problem." All kinds of things probably went through his mind. Someone else will come and help him. Thankfully, somebody did. But the Levite come along, and he passed by on the other side. We could say he did nothing. It's true. He did do something. He did nothing. The Levite ignored the wounded man. Maybe he went home to pray. I don't know. Sometimes that's not good enough. It's easy, isn't it? It's easy to pray. It's easy to throw a few bucks at something. But the first challenge is, do we see the need of someone else with our hearts? The Samaritan saw with compassion. And that compassion, that concern, caused him to do something. He sprung into action. He didn't pass by. He came where the man was, in verse 33. In verse 34, we see that the Samaritan went to him. People couldn't believe that, because that kind of thing just didn't happen. Sometimes can't believe what the Spirit of God prompts us as believers to do. I'm sure you've been in that kind of situation. It isn't necessarily some big thing. It may be some unbeliever who comes to you with a real heartache, and the Spirit of God prompts you to just put your arm around them and say, "Can I pray with you?" It doesn't have to be a big thing. It can be something small. Whatever the Spirit of God prompts you to do, if you care, you'll reach out to meet needs. The second challenge is that we need to feel the need. It's one thing to see the need, but we also need to feel the need. It says the Samaritan had compassion on him, and he went to him, stooped down. How could that be? Samaritan stooping down to help a Jew. The religious, political, racial hatred between the Jews and the Samaritan is and was indescribable. And yet, the Samaritan saw the need, he felt the need, and that compassion fueled his involvement with this poor Jewish man who was left along the side of the road, half dead. I suppose we could say that the priest and the Levite were like many of us today. As I read this story, my mind went back to a period of 1963, something that I did that has haunted me. You know, when we don't do something we should do, regret and guilt has a way of returning to the scene of the crime. Someone said guilt is a gift that keeps on giving. And there are some things that we've done or not done in our lives that never go away from our memories. I don't take the time to tell you what that is. If you want to know personally, I can tell you. But I passed by someone, and my thought was, there's another person coming along. They'll take care. But I looked into my rearview mirror, and they went past too. It was a very dangerous kind of situation. I had every reason and every excuse. But I've often wondered, when that car turned over in a ditch on that icy, slippery night in 1963, whether there was a couple of children in that car, whether they ever got out alive. It was so slippery that night you couldn't even stand on the road. I had a brand new car. I was more concerned about that ending up in a ditch. I've never forgotten that. I passed by a situation that I should have stopped at. We do that, don't we? And we regret it. We can be like the priest and the Levite, too occupied, too self-centered, too comfortable in our own ways to stop and help someone else who is in their time of need. The choice to get involved in other people's lives and the choice to help is rooted in one's heart. So the first principle or challenge is to see the need with our hearts, and the second is to feel the need. And then this Samaritan touched the need. That was an amazing thing for a Samaritan to even touch a Jew. Jesus is saying it's not enough to see the need with your heart and with compassion for another person, feel the need. We need to reach out to others and help. We need to touch the need. The Samaritan went to this Jew with his first aid kit, oil and wine. Oil is a soothing medicine, and the wine probably an antiseptic. But he bound up his wounds and set him on his donkey, probably picked the poor man up, and I don't know how he got him on the donkey. Maybe he had to hold him all the way to the inn. But he touched the need. He got involved. This is being merciful, I think, beyond explanation. This also involved risk. As I said, the Jews were enemies of the Samaritans, and besides, a Samaritan on the Jericho Road, way out of his comfort zone, he left that comfort zone as he saw the need, felt the need, he touched the need. And the next challenge is he met the need. You know, in life, depending upon the need, this takes wisdom, because we have to see sometimes the real need. If we're going to meet the need, we have to see and know the real need. Well, this Samaritan understood what the real need was, didn't he? It was a man laying half dead on the side of the road. He could have easily passed by this bleeding man like the others, but he didn't. He could have, after bandaging him up and helping him and getting him back in shape in some way, shape, or form, he could have left him lay there, but he didn't. He carried him to the inn. He left him in the care of the innkeeper. He paid the bill in advance, and he promised to come back and pay if there were additional costs. He saw with his heart, he felt, he touched, and he met the need. This story of the Samaritan helps us, doesn't it, to better understand what it requires to be merciful to someone in need. Sometimes it requires us to move out of our comfort zones. But it also illustrates the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ through those of us who are his people, who have come to know him, who are his arms and his legs and his hands and his feet. At the end of this story, Jesus asked the lawyer, which of the three was neighbor to him who fell among thieves? And the lawyer had no chance to argue. The Lord Jesus gave him no wiggle room in his wisdom. He had to answer in the way that he did. He said, he who showed mercy on him. And Jesus ended this story the way he began, to probe this man's heart. I don't know if this man ever came to repentance, but he experienced the sword of the word of God. He was convicted. Jesus said, go and do thou likewise. In conclusion, we simply cannot force ourselves to do something like this that was done here in this story by simply saying, I'm going to go out next week and do something like the Samaritan did. We cannot will ourselves to practice this kind of love. But we can let the love of God, which is a permanent part of our being, prompt us at any turn of the road, at any moment in time, on our journey of life, to meet human needs as God puts them in our pathway. God put anybody in your pathway lately? Maybe at work. Maybe someone who is ready to end life. And all you do is put your arm around them, share the love of God. You may turn things away from that. However, I think it is necessary that we are willing as believers, that people who share not only the gospel but the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, we must be willing to, like this Samaritan, see the need with our hearts and with compassion feel the need and touch the need and meet the need. Same applies to souls who are without Christ. Human need, eternal need. Last night we had the Far East Broadcasting Dinner. I think this is the third one, isn't it, Jim? Jim is the one that brought the Far East Broadcasting to us. Someone has said, dollars are the wings upon which the gospel flies, and we have the privilege of sharing in that way. We can also share in our prayers for the work and for the ministry. And some go at great sacrifice. Very interesting to listen to this man last night, this brother, how God plucked him out. A young boy, 14, left home in Vietnam. Never went back home. Ended up on one of the boat people, was adopted by, miraculously, not miraculously, by God's power and his hand, by a Christian family, came to Christ. He's back in Vietnam, serving God with Far East Broadcasting. Amazing story. Challenging, isn't it? Maybe God has put someone in your pathway. Maybe he will this week. Maybe he will next week. Are we willing, like this Samaritan, to see the need, the wisdom of God, to feel the need, to touch the need, and with God's help, meet the need? Let's pray. All of these are challenging things to us. We get so comfortable in life. And you are a merciful God. We know that. We've experienced your mercy. Father, as we read the 136th Psalm, every one of the 26 verses ends with, "Your mercy endures forever." Our God, we realize there's no expiration date to your mercy. And there shouldn't be in with us as we get involved in other people's lives. Speak to our hearts, we pray, bless us, and make us a blessing for Jesus' sake. Amen.